Dar.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you. The team was 10-1 with you starting in the postseason. How'd that happen?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of sabermetrics and there's a lot of numbers and stuff, you know, the whole war stat, you know, but when we go to playoffs, you know, it's you want me to go to war with, you know, so, man, I say I work inside a museum, but this is the loudest a museum's been in a long time.
He had written that out beforehand and found the nearest broadcaster and told him exactly what to ask him.
That clip will never not get old. I mean,
first of all, they won the World Series, and he immediately makes it about himself.
Sure. He went up and said to Rosenthal, apparently, said, all right, I want you to ask me, this team went 9-1 when I was on the field. How did that happen?
Yeah.
And Rosenthal goes, all right, man. And he just totally throws him under the bus. I will never say a bad word about Ken Rosenthal after that. Johnny, you just instructed me what to ask you.
Yeah.
Why are you so great?
You know, people talk about the war stat.
You got a war with.
I'm someone you want a war with. Go to war with.
War with.
I'll be out of the league soon enough.
What's he supposed to be doing? Like being a batting coach or something for Arizona?
A rookie roving batting.
I thought it was he was a rookie league.
I thought he was like a roving. Pitting.
Either way.
Yeah.
It's obviously an important gig.
You know, that makes more sense. You know, Johnny Gomes, man on motorcycle. Wanted dead or alive.
He's like a renegade,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he Lorenzo Lamas type thing.
Yes,
yeah.
He wanders
right.
The earth. Like
highwayman.
Right. He's a highwayman, yes.
All right, so he was in the booth because they were in Oakland,
yep.
Which is around where he's from.
Oh, can you find the clip from the other day where he was ordering food off the mic?
Oh, they're home. That's right.
Oh, yeah. No, they're here.
Yeah,
he was here in town.
Okay, I apologize.
And there was the... Mike, if you could find that clip and just give it to Dan. There was the other day, of course, he was caught off microphone being a badass. But on top of that... yesterday was a very Gomes-ish day. So here's, first of all, a little bit of... There's some things that you don't know, some insight that you get when you play the game that you don't just from sitting at home, you know, like some non-hero like Johnny Gomes. And yet there's phrases like this you might not be aware of.
Didn't you have the feeling the last couple of nights that he was getting real close to doing something like that?
Yeah, he was hitting the ball real hard. His outs were loud. We call them loud outs. He had a nice line drive earlier on in the game. Those are the barrels, and that was a big boy barrel right there.
Called loud outs, if you've never heard that
the outs
before.
That were loud.
I've never heard that turn of phrase before. Is that what the insiders call it? Loud outs?
Loud out.
The outs that were loud.
For the quiet. What the hell is he talking about?
No, loud outs is a phrase. It means that you hit the ball hard. But you hit it at someone.
Okay, but why is he even bringing that up there?
Because obviously whoever he's talking about, it had been in a groove and just hadn't been fined. I mean, I know what he's saying. The part of it that I think is funny is that he just said, we call them loud outs.
That's right.
That's a phrase that's been around
opening
forever.
Up the door to a secret society right. That you have to chance and cock your ear and lean in and listen.
Yes.
Well, you know what else he loves? He loves grub.
For day game, nothing beats a dog. In fact, a couple of dogs.
I'm all in on a dog at a ball game.
Anytime. Here's Chapman. He struck out first inning.
What's going on? Why don't you just say nothing?
He's all in. He loves a hot dog at a ball
but
game.
But that's O'Brien's fault. Like, who... What, did they show someone? I didn't watch it. What, did they show someone in the stands eating a hot dog?
I don't know.
There's nothing like a dog at a ball game. Two. Huh? Anybody? Can I get an amen? Why would you just say nothing?
Oh, I guess...
You're on television.
They had been talking about reports of the Mets installing a hot dog machine in the locker room.
Fine. There's nothing like a hot dog at a ball game.
Yep.
If only someone could turn that into a song or something. I mean, why? Okay, so, all right, so the Mets have, they put a hot dog thing in the locker room. First of all, why do you bring that up? And second of all, just let the pitcher do the talking. Like, just let, you don't have to talk. You're not on the radio. There's a visual aspect to it. No one needs to know that you like hot dogs. Boy, loud outs and hot dogs, we're really getting some keen insights here.
Well, I mean, you know what? You know who obviously called in and tried to get on the air after that was...
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
Johnny Cope says, I love a hot dog.
Yeah, Robert Kraft comes in, his eyes are all red.
420 Kraft shows up again?
Yeah, he does. He goes, hey, let's hotbox in the booth. Anyone down?
I don't know if Johnny Gomes would do that.
Well, of course Johnny Gomes would if you put the pressure on him.
You think so?
Yeah. Hey, don't be square. Take a hit of this pen. We'll wake you right up. It's some nice Tiva.
420 Kraft is always carrying, right?
Why not, Jack? It's always time to take a little toke.
Where did you get that 420 Kraft? Where did you get that sweet kush?
Meek Mill?
Okay, your buddy Meek, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why you looked confused. Is that why you looked confused when they were having that conversation over your head?
I just can't understand anything they're talking about. But I got a hydroponic garden at the facility.
Okay.
I got that sweet hydro.
Right over at Patriot Place. Sure, okay. Thank you, 420 Kraft.
We're putting in a dispensary.
Okay, well, that would probably make sense, right next to the TB12 clinic.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Screw that guy. He's like, you know.
I got my own form of working out.
What's it called?
Token.
Just token?
Yeah. Ass, grass, or gas.
Nobody rides for free.
Yeah, that's what I say. Okay. I'm in the limousine.
I'm reading it on your belt buckle.
That's right. Hey, DMC, I hear you slay all suckers who perpetrate and lay down laws from state to state.
Thank you, 420 Kraft.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, that's appreciate awesome. It. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, so, and then there was a moment where I guess there's been this contest that Nesson's been doing for a while called, like, Nesson's Next Producer, and you had to submit some sort of video or some sort of work, and you could get a job at Nesson. I'm sure a very high-paying job.
As opposed to the...
At Nesson.
As opposed to the other high-paying job.
So here's how things were set up in the booth. This is with Tom Werner.
Well, over 35 student sports films were submitted for this year's edition of Nesson Next Producer. The three finalists tasked with producing a 60-second video promoting the start of the season. With more on that, Red Sox chairman Tom Werner.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red
That's
Sox.
That's not actually what he
Let's
said.
Let's go though. Red yeah. Sox.
But actually he came in.
And 35 entries? That is impressive.
That's a lot of not much of anything. So here is Johnny Gomes standing in the booth. Okay, now the visual, I'll have to describe it to you because he's standing up. Dave O'Brien standing up, and here is this, you know, this college-aged girl standing right in front of Johnny Gomes, and Johnny Gomes is, like, right behind her. Like, it's, like, almost, like, breathing on the top of her head. Let's take a listen.
Well, what's exciting is that Allie doesn't know is that she's the winner.
Allie! So,
we have a check for Allie for $20,000, and...
So you had a 1 in 35 shot of getting $20,000?
Yeah, but you have to work at Nesson.
Well, and that's your yearly salary for... The next 5 years, you had to sign a contract. I mean, but seriously, like a 1 in 35 chance of getting $20,000?
Yeah, and this is like a pretty big city as far as college students having access to all things news and media. I mean, Emerson has a school for this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you would think just from the people there, there would be a lot of entries.
All right.
Well, what's exciting is that Allie doesn't know is that she's the winner.
Allie! So,
we have a check for Allie for $20,000 and a job at Nesson this summer.
What?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh, yeah.
They're both no-cal guys. Little Fieri.
You got a little guy Fieri in there.
That's right. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. No, North California represent.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh, my God, thank you so much.
And then immediately she's better than him.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Gomes, just with that one check for $20,000, she immediately became 55 times better at her job than Gomes.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Oh, my God, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Well, you deserved it.
Do you have any ideas where that money's going to go? That's a nice little chunk to get things going.
Oh, my God.
Buy a reefer.
420 Kraft, I thought you left the booth.
Nah, I'm a big fan of Mary Jane.
Okay, I understand that. That is a very old school term for marijuana. You can just say that. I mean, you like smoking pot.
I used to watch Reefer Madness and go, who are these clowns?
Now, this is some of the stuff you grew on your own, you're saying, over at Patriot Place?
Yeah, I got a couple guys working on it.
Okay.
A little hydroponic farm.
Okay.
All right.
Is that what the deflator's doing now? Okay.
All right.
So is dinner on you tonight, by any chance?
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Dinner and drinks?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. She's probably not having a pizza pocket tonight.
College not day. Tonight, anyway.
Yeah, no, yeah, you bet. Okay. Maybe you have a hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Nice grilled hot dog sliced.
That's right.
Because you know who loves hot dogs?
For day game, nothing beats a dog. In fact, a couple of dogs.
I'm all in on a dog at a ball game.
Anytime. Here's Chapman. He struck out first inning.
Right.
Nothing beats a dog at a ball game.
Nope.
Couple dogs.
Sure. You could go crazy and have two.
Yeah.
Look at this picture of Gomes with that girl. He's kind of creepy.
He's giving her the once over.
This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Pass the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Matt Light, who frequently joins the show. He loves hunting and being in the Patriots Hall of Fame. The fans have voted Matt Light into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Mr. Matt Light.
Hey, I really appreciate that. It truly is an honor, man.
All right, so what happens now? Do you get anything cool?
It's a red jacket, Fred.
Yeah. I keep hearing that it's going to be so much red when I put it on my large carcass that it's going to really, you know, affect people's sight. So, look, it's an amazing feeling, really. I mean, you know, when I played, I honestly walked into that facility every day, and I don't know. I kind of had this this mindset that, man, I got to really prove it because I don't know that I really belong here. I don't know that I'm – you know, really good enough to compete and do the things I need to do, especially early in my career. And, you know, they do a pretty good job of keeping you humble, you know, in terms of how they look at things and how they do things. But truly, you know, as the years went on and as I, you know, continued to, you know, be a part of that organization and learn from everybody there and play with such incredible guys, I still never lost that feeling of, man, I don't know if I'm really good enough for this. And maybe that helped me along the way, and maybe it helped to push me to do things. But to get to a point now where I can look back on my career and, you know, really, you know, whether it's the fans or the selection committee that puts people up for the hall, I still feel that way. I feel like I played with so many guys that deserve to be in the hall and will probably one day be there. But it is nice to join, you know, fellow teammates, like, you know, guys that I really looked up to, the Troy Browns and the Ty Laws and the Teddy Bruschis and, man, my man Kevin Faulk and Drew Bledsoe. I mean, it is a real blessing.
You call Seymour of Rabel and brag a little bit yesterday?
I didn't. I did get a text from Vrabel, and, you know, to think that, you know, those guys that I was able to play with, hold on, guys.
So, is that paparazzi outside in front of the house?
Inside the light household.
Turkeys were coming after me. It's amazing. I had to defend myself.
He's out in the wild.
They're turning the tables on you, Matt. The hunter becomes the hunted.
I did just have success in the great, you know, wild outdoors, though. It's been a great turkey season. There's a lot of them running around there, so I want people to protect themselves. I mean, these things are, you know, little vigilantes.
Sure. Yes, indeed. There was a bear in Newton. What do you do when, Matt Light, what do you do when confronted by a bear?
Well, I'll tell you, I had an interesting one. I was in Manitoba, and I had a big sow that came in, and she had about a 2-year-old cub with her, and she she came right to my stand, and I'm only like 6 feet off the ground. And I kept telling myself, well, if she stands up and she starts to come, I'll have time to, like, you know, yell something at her or whatever. And she did stand up, and I started getting real nervous. And then her cub knocked something over, made some crazy noise, and she spun around and went over there and scolded him. And I thought, I'm really glad that she didn't come up this tree, because there's no, I mean, a bear is an extremely fast animal, and I am not. So it's a funny feeling being around such a large critter.
Right. And so did you defecate or anything at that point?
No, I just said to myself, I don't know if I'm really cut out for this. I mean, I'm not a big bear hunter, but that was an interesting experience.
As for the here and now, Matt, Patriots have had a lot of stability at left tackle. There was you and Nate Solder right after you, but now there are a lot of question marks at that position, and you were kind of outspoken about it yesterday. How hard is it going to be for the Patriots to replace a guy like Solder?
Well, I mean, it's going to be really hard to replace Nate. I mean, I'll never forget the day I walked into the facility and, you know, Nate Solder standing there, and he's like 6'9". I mean, it's absurd how tall the guy is, and you know, he's got no body fat. He runs like a deer. He's aggressive. You know, he's got a wingspan of a vulture. And then there's me, and I don't possess any of those qualities. And I'm like, holy smokes, I got to fight for a position against this guy. And, you know, Nate just had a great way about him. I mean, he was a great teammate, you know, for the guys in that locker room that played with him. And, you know, he had this silent leadership about him. And he just, you know, he's a man of character, conviction, and you just don't replace guys like that, especially after the run that they had and the amount of reps that, you know, they had together. But, you know, look, I put a lot of faith in the system as much as I do anything else. And, you know, they obviously went out and picked up Wynn, and they feel good about him. And, you know, I don't know about all the talk about this undersized, you know, guy playing left tackle. I don't really care about the size. I look at it and say, you know, if this guy's got some aggressiveness to him, if he shows up every day and he's got Dante Scarnecchia pushing him, you know, they're going to figure it out eventually. It may be a little ugly early on, and I anticipate that you're going to see a lot of guys being rotated. Even guys that have had, you know, some pretty secure spots are probably going to be asked to, you know, do some other things and be ready to go at other positions. I can remember when, you know, I went down and then my backup went down, and now Logan Mankins has to kick out and play left tackle, and you know, they ask those guys to do a lot of things, but at the end of the day, for the most part, they're going to be, you know, in pretty good position when they take the field. Hopefully, you know, training camp will go well for them.
All right, Matt, when you look back and you said that it's not easy to play, the Patriots do a good job of keeping you humble. And I don't know how, you know, much you're around the organization now, but does it seem to you that Belichick has evolved at all and, you know, realizes that this is a new generation of players and maybe his coaching style needs to change a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a coaching staff, they look at that, you know, periodically, and you know, they take a look at the guys that they have, and, you know, what's the leadership like, and who are the guys that, you know, are probably going to be elected captains, and, you know, how do we get the most out of this group? But to your point, I mean, this is a different era, and it goes far beyond just, you know, kids these days. You know, I got a 16-year-old, and you know, the high school age kids are going through things that are just night and day different than what I ever thought a high school kids would be doing, you know, and then that trickles into college. And then, you know, look, the other side of the equation is these guys don't practice the way we used to. And I'm not saying that you need to go out there and run into each other full speed all day, every day. But I do think that the NFL as a whole is sloppier than what it used to be. I mean, you know, I talked a lot about it in the playoffs. You know, you get to the playoffs and the first, you know, the wild card, you know, round was terrible football and fundamental football that should be good. And I think that's a product of, you know, how they practice, you know, the emphasis on not hitting as much because the concussive episodes and all that kind of stuff. And then also the attitude of these guys when they walk in the locker room. I mean, a lot of these guys have been told really how great they are, you know, and been coddled in ways that, you know, just didn't happen in the old days.
Like, at what age do you think that these guys are told they're the greatest and start getting coddled?
Well, it's so competitive. I mean, you're talking about kids that are, you know, freshmen in high school that have, you know, they've got the build or they've got the, you know, kind of the mentality. And when they're a freshman, they're getting recruited. I mean, they've got, you know, they got all these online services. They got the huddle, you know, and all these different software packages that highlight what these kids are doing at a very early age. And, you know, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but really it's the mindset, you know, and what they hear at home and you know, just holding them accountable and making sure that they I mean, doing all the little things that made the Patriots organization as great as it is and makes every organization, you know, really good. And that's disciplined, you know, approach. I mean, you're talking trying to organize 60-some Neanderthals that, you know, all have egos and, you know, really, really love themselves to a degree. And you know, they're aggressive by nature. So you have to have a lot of stability. You got to have a lot of controls, you know, to keep a group like that in line. And, you know, when you don't practice as much and, you know, these guys come in with a little chip on their shoulder and they got a little bit of that attitude, it's hard to correct that overnight.
Did you, when you signed with Purdue, was there like a big to-do at your high school, like on signing day?
Oh, man, you know, there wasn't. I think I did it in my living room, you know, and there wasn't any press. I mean, we still had, you know, carrier pigeons delivering messages where I grew up. So, but you know, it's funny talking about that, though. What one great story, and you'll love this. I was asked to say something for Russ Hochstein, who is a dear friend of mine and one of the funniest, greatest people on earth, and a guy that honestly did everything for our organization when he was a Patriot. And Russ, you know, when Damian Woody went down, Russ came in and played, you know, left guard, you know, for the entire playoff run to a Super Bowl victory, right? And his hometown in Hardington, Nebraska, was going to throw this big celebration and proclaim a day in Russ's honor, right? Now, they asked me if I'd call in and say something on behalf of the team and playing with Russ. And I knew that there was no way that whatever I said, he could argue. So I made up an amazing story about the Super Bowl, about how I had a terrible play, and he grabbed me and he shook me and he looked me in the eye and he said, "Light, we're going to get through this, and then you're going to get past this." And I told him, I said, you know, and that changed the course of that game for me, and really brought me out of the funk, and the place went crazy. Now, Russ and I are the only two that know that never happened. And when I tell you the conversation after, he's like, "Man, I appreciate you calling in, but you know, you didn't have to, you know, tell them a stupid story." I was like, "But they loved it, Russ. It was amazing."
So he didn't feel the need to correct you.
How do you correct that? He literally, and I could hear it. Like, I could hear the reverb. I was on a speakerphone in a gymnasium of a high school for a town of like 800 people. And there were like 3,000 people in that gym. I could just feel the energy. It was awesome.
Matt Light.
He's not going to stop things and go, "No, none of this happened."
That'd be funny if he did. Matt Light, congratulations. You're going to be inducted Saturday, September 29th. And it is a great honor with all you accomplished. One of the elite players in terms of starting Super Bowls. And a very small group of people who have achieved what you did in that regard. And congratulations on all of that. And thank you so much for talking to us.
Well, guys, I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the ceremony. And I appreciate everybody that's ever helped me along the way and supported me. And, you know, the fans of New England are by far and away the best of the best. So thank you.
All right, Matt. Thank you so much for the time. All right. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, and I've noticed, Rich, that the Townie Jeopardy is coming along nicely.
It is. Nick is gone, so I've had to do a little bit of extra prep for this. Usually Nick's kind of behind the scenes running this operation, but I do know
has
that
Bird stepped up to his game.
Bird has, yes. Bird okay. has been helping out a decent amount. As a matter of fact, up right now, he is going upstairs to see if one of our contestants has arrived. He's going to check and see if this gentleman is here.
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
I'm like really excited to see this guy.
So am I. Well, you know what? Maybe you should have voted for him. I'm the
Did
only
you
one
vote
in this
room.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I voted for Fat Tony.
Well, Fat Tony was going to win, and I knew that because Fat Tony told us what his blood, what was it, cholesterol?
No, his blood pressure was 200 over.
Oh, I thought it was higher. It was like 300.
Maybe it was 300.
It was death's door stuff.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we're like, well,
I felt a moral responsibility to not joking, tell him several times to get to a doctor.
And we did.
Yes.
And we did. And we told him that. He's like, sure, fine. And I was a little worried because that game was a fairly exciting one. And I was wondering if maybe, you know, I wouldn't want to be responsible for a heart attack that day.
You voted the anti-death vote.
I did that for the benefit of all of us. Because there was one guy who looked very scary. And was one of those people that you can feel him staring at you from the other corner of the room.
No. He was legitimately pissed.
Yes.
Because for some reason there was some kazoo situation. And he couldn't get it to work.
Oh, it was the worse off than Tom Brady contest. Yes, it was like when the TB12 diet thing, that book first came out, we were trying to find the person who lived the opposite lifestyle, and one of the tests was going to be how much breath you were able to exude, you know, which maybe would say something about the amount that you've smoked, and we had a kazoo, and he couldn't do a kazoo.
And he was, like, just BS about the whole thing and about how it wasn't fair, and he didn't realize that, like, you know, it's kind of just up to us. Like, it doesn't really matter. You're not being graded on this breath thing. It's,
sure.
But he was sitting in the other side of the room, just death stare. He was just furious.
He was not a happy camper. So I did that. I knew that Fat Tony was going to win. So for the benefit of all of you guys, I gave him a vote.
See, Pasta Guy won my heart right away.
Oh, well, yeah, Pasta Joe.
Pasta.
Yeah,
because in context, he was saying nothing. Like, he was so quiet. So, just when he it's like, all right, so why are you so much worse than Brady? He's like,
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
And that was basically all he said. That was all he said.
He painted a Picasso and left the room. It's just like, my work here is done.
The Seinfeld where you leave on a high note?
That's what he did.
Yeah, when George, you know, goes in and he makes a joke and gets right out of there.
Over under on whether he's going to wear the Wheaties jacket again.
I wanted a category called Cereal Jackets and Me. Do you want to hear the ideas that I sent Rich? Because we're not going to use any of them. I was at my son's basketball practice.
Kind of animated as much earlier.
Well, Fred was sending me these. I was just laughing with every text I was getting.
Yeah, because I was sitting at my son's basketball practice. I had nothing to do.
Sure.
And he goes, I wonder what the best way to... So I said, hey, I had an idea. And I said, crap about being fat. Do we know where he's from? If we do, we can make it that. One character would be called Cereal Jackets. Food you eat off your stomach. Daytime TV. How long to microwave? Read the package description like of a microwave
food. How long the microwave? That's great.
Yeah, like I'm
that's
making
a really inspired idea. I'm making a hot pocket.
How long do you microwave?
That's a great idea. You didn't use that?
We can do like a Price is Right like microwave.
The over under. That'd be perfect.
That's right.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, like you know, pizza rolls.
I like
rolls.
That idea a lot.
Sure.
We have something similar, but it's like, I mean, that would be a whole different game.
But
that would
I
not know, be a Jeopardy right. situation.
I just think that Cereal Jackets and Me.
What is 90 seconds?
That would be great.
Right.
Pizza rolls, what is 90 seconds?
Or if you go burrito, you go, well, that's a double-edged sword.
How long has it been frozen? No, you don't know.
A minute 20, and then you got to flip that sumbitch over
that's
for
right.
another minute.
Yeah, you do a Price is Right style. With every second over that they get,
it's true. It's difficult because the hot pockets come in those sleeves, man. You're never sure.
It would just be like the pasta guy going slowly off his couch
and gambling up the mountain.
No. He would be rolling slowly off the couch, and if you went too far
off the couch,
you'd just fall off onto the floor.
That's right.
That's what it would be. And he'd be wearing the Wheaties jacket and everything.
I say he has it on again. Same thing.
It's cool out.
Yeah. No, it's 50. It's not even 60 yet. I say he has it on.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I have a feeling I almost think it's a certainty. You're going to get the Wheaties jacket this morning. But he is going to be here in a few. Is he already here? Do we know yet? Okay. He's scheduled to be here within the next few minutes.
Nobody is here yet.
So the dude.
I'm sorry. Bird is here.
Okay. Bird is here.
But then I said Bird to go find Dude and the pasta guy. And now no one is here.
Now the dude is completely on Bird. Now, the dude is a guy who I think we can trust. Like, he's got like a job.
He has a code to get in the building.
Yeah, right.
Yes, at least.
Like that. Yeah. Now, pasta guy Joe is somebody that, you know, he made it in time for the last time we did a contest. So we shall see.
All right. Well, very much looking forward to that. Pasta guy coming in studio. Pasta guy who I voted for, who won my heart.
Pasta.
Did you know next season is the last season? If you can contain yourself, the last season of Modern Family. A show that is just so good. A show that is riding a wave of consistent yucks for the last 6 years.
I've never watched that show.
You see, you're all uppity with your television.
Not uppity. I just don't watch. I haven't watched a lot of TV.
We didn't get it great. As of late. So what goes on at your house?
Well, I watch more TV now. Like in the last couple of years, I watch TV. But I prefer to not watch. Like, there's not a lot of network comedies that I'm into.
I'll tell you this, is I read an article about how they do those Disney shows, like for adolescents, and it's absolutely right. Like they, because I was always like, why do the kids prefer like the Disney shows like Sam and Cat to like something like the Goldbergs? The Goldbergs is just it's a family sitcom. I mean, it's fairly benign. And it's because they found this formula that I was reading about it, and it's absolutely true. Do your kids watch that Disney stuff?
No way. No way.
What do they watch?
There's a show called Family Game Night they watch. They watch BattleBots. They watch cartoons. They still watch cartoons, like Inspector Gadget, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, my kids.
The Boss Baby show that's on now.
Do your kids watch these Disney shows?
No.
Are so smart and they have like huge.
And the dumb dad and dumb mom.
There's really no parents in any of them.
It used to be, what was it, Henry Danger?
And then, Henry.
And the Thundermans, used to watch those. Now those are out. My kids are, I don't know, behind the times. They watch Pokemon. They download episodes on DirecTV.
That's a whole different thing.
They watch a lot of Pokemon episodes.
All right, so what they do with these shows is that all the dialogue is yelled, and the colors are different. It's shot in a way where like the colors are way more vibrant, and if you have that in mind, and then you watch one of those shows, and then you watch something that's like a sitcom, it's completely different. Oh, do those shows suck? I mean, they're just so bad. And even when, because you don't, I'm not watching them, you know, but they're just on. And they're so annoying that even just them being present in the home is enough.
I try to put on stuff that I would, if I had to sit down and watch it with them, I wouldn't mind it. Like, they've started watching, and believe it or not, The Price is Right. Like, I've had them watch old game shows. And, like, they're into it. I showed them Double Dare, like, some of the old Double Dares and stuff. Like, stuff that, like, I wouldn't mind sitting and watching with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I couldn't. There's no way I would put on one of those shows for them. Because I know what that's
like. I don't put it on for them. I mean, they're capable of turning on the television. It's just that, just awful. The iCarly. There are these brilliant kids that there's no adults in iCarly at all. And they're so brilliant that they have this, like, internet site, like, this website where they create their own content and they're huge celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I saw, one of the girls, the premise of it was the girl had a mustache and the other girl thought the mustache was a squirrel. Huh. So it's like these absurdist, garbage, not funny at all.
Mm.
And then that Grande chick's on a bunch of them.
Ariana Grande.
And if you told me that she was going to become some sort of star, out of all the girls that are on those shows, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
You know what doesn't suck if you have to put something on that a kid would like is the King Julian show.
I don't know what that is.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen. It's like, you know, as the muskrat thing or whatever it is, the lemur from Madagascar.
Oh.
It's legitimately funny. Like, the writers are pretty damn sharp. But it's got Sacha Baron Cohen doing the voice and a couple of other famous people. But that is...
What the hell is that even on?
Netflix. It's a Netflix show.
Oh.
That is...
Then you got to turn... I got to hit the button to make the thing go on. I don't care
What's
for
that.
The router. I got to stand up and make the router go on. Okay. I don't care for that. But, that stuff is just awful. Pasta Joe is here.
There you go.
He's here?
Yeah.
Pasta.
We're waiting on the dude. That's it?
Yeah, the one guy that works here.
The dude's going to make it.
All right.
He's going to walk right into 8.
All okay. Right, we'll be right back. 98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Everyone present for Townie Jeopardy. The Narragansetts are all lined up.
The dude is here. Is that what I know to be true?
The dude is here. Pasta Excellent. Joe is here. There's a twist with Pasta Joe, I'm told.
Really?
There is a twist with Pasta Joe.
So we don't know. Is he wearing the Wheaties jacket?
I'm not asking.
Okay.
But there is a twist with Pasta Joe.
Oh, interesting. All
right. Pasta Joe, I'm fascinated by a couple things about him. One is his inability to drive.
Pasta.
I want to know where he's from.
Sure.
We were trying to find out where Pasta Joe is from. There's so many things that are itching the back of my mind.
Because if he lives here in the city, that's one thing. We had Sean Grandy in here, and Grandy doesn't own a car either. You know, he grew up
Cedric
in New York
Maxwell
City.
Maxwell doesn't
Maxwell
have a car.
Maxwell is getting chauffeured over here for his appearance in about an hour.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm thinking, I would like not to drive a car.
It would be kind of cool if you just walk downstairs. There's a guy waiting to take you wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I would like nothing more than not to have to drive a car.
Yeah.
To have a driver?
Well, people in your town drive crazy as it is.
Oh, my God.
People in your town are nuts. With cars.
I had a guy, this was in Brighton. I had a guy in a truck, like a work truck, that was just sitting there. And then I passed him, and he started screaming at me for not passing him sooner.
Not passing? He wasn't upset you passed him.
No.
He was upset that you took too long to pass
him. Yes.
Insane behavior.
Oh, yeah. Because he started, like, frantically gesturing when I got, like, next to his car, and I rolled out my window. I go, what's your problem? He goes, why the hell did you pass me
over? Why did you? Well, that's your first mistake. Why did you roll down your window?
Because I was fascinated why he was so pissed off.
In today's day and age, you don't roll down your window.
He was
for guys
in
like
a work truck, like not
oh,
like
right.
like a, they were
not
doing
his
road
own
work.
Personal vehicle. Okay,
yeah, they were doing.
Okay.
There was a cop there. I mean,
okay.
He's not.
Okay.
Good.
Well, you left that part out.
No, I'm not. Believe me. I don't.
Right.
I don't need some psychopath
gotcha.
Running around.
All right.
But there's been more times. There's probably been about 20 times I've had to get out of the car to ask someone to please move their vehicle. Like, where they've just sat in the middle of the road doing God knows what, getting something out of the back seat. Because in if you put your hazards on, that means that there's no rules. You understand my hazards
it's
are
like
on.
That bubble of protection.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, I got you. Like, yeah. You know, I understand it's a one-lane road, but I got my hazards on. So you understand, everything's fine. Because obviously I'm in great distress. Because I want to run and get my Starbucks without having to park.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I was running around. Can I get what? There was a twist with Pasta Joe?
Yes.
Who told you this?
Dan O'Brien.
Okay. Because I don't know anything about this, and I'm kind of excited. Have you talked to him? No.
Okay.
But I told Bird. Boy, this might be bad. This might backfire horribly. I told Bird to give him the instructions. On what to do. So, I mean, there's certain instructions that these guys need to have when they come in, like how to sit, how to talk into the mic, all that kind of thing. So if it completely backfires, that's on me, but I almost want to be surprised because I don't even know if he's wearing the Wheaties jacket.
No, but he has something that you're going to be very surprised by, and I want to know how it happened and
okay.
why it happened.
Okay. All right, now my interest is piqued. I was already excited enough to meet the pasta guy. Should we just call him the pasta guy?
I think Pasta Joe. I mean, we don't...
Pasta Joe's fine.
He's a human being.
Yeah, Pasta Joe. All right.
Because there already been a chili guy.
Yeah, that's right. So he Pasta Joe.
Yeah, Pasta Joe.
Or Joey Pasta.
And there's been the faster guy. And they've all disappeared. So let's call him Pasta Joe.
Joey Pasta.